Thank you for tuning in and listening to Oasis of Love's Sunday's message.
As you give. Thank you, Bobby. Well, glory to God. If you got your Bibles, would you open it up to Galatians? You know, the last couple Sundays we've been talking about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, you know, it's interesting how God chooses the words that he does. You know, there's not one word in the Bible that doesn't have some significance to it. And about the closest thing that God could use as a word for us to explain the difference between the world that's around us, the old life that we used to live, and the new life that's in front of us because we made Jesus the Lord of our life, and the new level of living that we can be operating at, kingdom is about the best word. Because there's a kingdom of this world. We know that. And, you know, it's called the golden rule. You know what the golden rule is? He who has the gold makes the rules. So the rest of us are all kind of left behind. You know, we're at the bottom of the food chain. But in the kingdom of heaven, everybody is blessed and called highly favored by the Lord because they simply accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, calling him king, calling him, you know, Lord means that he gets to call the shots. You know, if I had a car that somebody had come up and wanted to borrow, first of all, you're kind of careful about that because, you know, but especially if it's the guy that has already totaled their car and then totaled their truck, and now they're on foot and they want to come and borrow your car. You got to be real careful about loaning a car to a critter like that, right? I mean, when you normally, you know, predisposed to say, no, I don't think I can do that, now you're really certain that you don't want to do that. Well, you know, when I was driving the wheels of my life, I just kept crashing all the time. So why would I think that after I got born again that somehow or another that I should be trusted in still controlling my life? No, when I became a Christian, I gave Jesus the keys to my car, my life, my everything. And because of that, I found that, you know, my life makes a whole lot more sense and I don't crash and burn anywhere near as often as I used to do when I figured it was this way or that. But when you get right down to it today, as we're about to celebrate communion and remembering what Jesus did for us on that cross, I mean, it's important that you realize that God is calling the bride of Christ, the church, to come up higher. To come up higher in these last days. I mean, that's talking about kicking off the casual Christianity shoes and flip-flops and then turning around and putting on the royal robes of a true child of the King. Living like it's real, believing everything that God said is ours in Christ Jesus, and it happens and it flows because I have surrendered my life and I no longer make all the decisions. Well, I got the decision of saying yes or no to God, but you know what? If God says do it, I'm just going to do it. That's what I'm talking about here. Amen? So to be kingdom-minded, this is so important because if you have your mind focused on the kingdom of God, it gives you a whole lot of clarity in this crazy mixed-up life in this world that we're living in right now. There's not a lot of it that makes sense, right? But in the kingdom of God, everything makes sense because God's going to back it up with the truth from his word and with the power of his love in your life. You know, the rest of the world, they try to go, you got the kingdom of Saudi Arabia and you got this kingdom over here and that. You know what? The king gets to be king because he's boss hog, because he's the one who declares and decrees, and if you don't do it, buddy, you're going to wish you would. But the kingdom of heaven operates on the standard of love. In other words, God's not going to make us do it. He just offers it out as a love gift to us, and if we understand what God did at the cross with Jesus, how in all of that, he not only came to the earth as the baby, but he grew up among us. He knows what it's like. He became our substitute, died on the cross, whipped the devil in his own hometown, rose again with the keys of hell and death in his hand. I'll tell you what, when God does that for me, I'm going to serve him. My love wants to respond to that kind of love. Amen? So it's up to us to decide what we're going to do. But you know what? If we're going to be kingdom-minded, we got to live by the principles of the kingdom of heaven. If you live by the principles of the kingdoms of this world, I mean, you just get all you can and can all you get. And we talked about this last week. But the principle, the number one principle that we have to come to grips with when it comes to the kingdom of heaven is that it's a kingdom. And if there's a kingdom, that means there's a king. And his name is Jesus. Aren't you glad? The Lamb of God, the suffering servant. I mean, think about it. I mean, God did all of that on the cross, not so that we could become a tuned-up sinner, but that we could be a new creation in Christ, a totally new human being, born again in the image and likeness of God. See, if you got a king, he's the one who rules absolutely over his subjects. The God's kingdom, this is accomplished by that free will decision that you and I get to make, to accept his lordship. And the weird thing is that this decision is revocable by you at any time. At any time. I saw this thing on Facebook, and I'd heard about it before, but somebody had posted one to me, and it was about Alice Cooper. Remember that crazy rock and roll dude? Well, his dad had been a lifelong pastor, and his grandpa had been an evangelist. And so this crazy fool decided, I'm going to run as far away from God as I can. I think he did a pretty good job, you know, getting as far away from God as you can, until his life was almost lost. Now he's come back into the church, and he's come back into the things of God. And he's got a ministry of helping crazy drug addicts and all this other kind of stuff with the grace that God gave him that set him free. But that's the thing. You can choose to stay or you can choose to go. But the kingdom operates no matter what. And if you're in the kingdom and you're subject to the kingdom and you follow the rules of the king and the principles of the kingdom of heaven, I'm telling you, it's going to set you free. Why would you want to try to do it the old way when the old way didn't work to begin with? Amen? See, Jesus didn't leave heaven, come to earth, live among us, minister life, die on the cross so that we could just add him into our life. No. No. I think two of the greatest seeds that were sown that has brought destruction to the church was many decades ago when it kind of people started talking about salvation as a free gift. Now, we know, reading from Ephesians, that it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But when you enter into salvation with God, you're entering into a blood covenant, the blood that was shed on the cross. And in a blood covenant, you give up everything you got, which, quite frankly, doesn't amount to diddly squat. But you got to do that part, laying your all, everything you are and everything you'll ever be, on the table. And God comes along and says, all right, I'll take that, and I'm going to give you everything I have and everything I'll ever be. Did we get the good deal? Oh, my goodness, yeah. So salvation, there's no such thing as something for nothing anywhere in the universe. Now, relatively speaking, yeah, what we gave was so small, it might as well be nothing. But, no, I've got to give my life freely to him because he gave his life freely to me. I can't just have him add it into my life. I got to take my life and add it into his. You see the difference that's there? When it comes to the kingdom of God, it's all about coming fully into the love that he has for us. And he tells you, you get to decide how much you want. Isn't that amazing? The creator of the universe gave us a free will and has this whole thing operate on the basis of love. See, I know lordship's a difficult thing because there's just part of us that rejects that, you know. I mean, we deal with authority around us all the time, you know, and it's like what the one guy said, you know, absolute, you know, power corrupts absolutely. So when somebody is over us in the natural, just a human being, we can see all their flaws and we can look at what they're doing and just go, you got to be kidding me. Why would I want to do that? Get you into a whole lot of trouble. Back in my 20s before I got saved, I'll tell you what, that was kind of the way I looked at everything. Well, I'll do it if I think it's a good thing. And you have to have a little bit of that common sense as a human being because we're serving masters that are humans that are flawed. But when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we understand who he is, and when we make him master, Lord, and King over our life, we're not following a flawed being. We're following the Lord God Almighty. And since it's all based on love, we can trust in him. I've been saved since 28, since the age of 28. And I'll tell you what, God has proven over and over and over again. Number one, he is patient. Let me tell you, man, God has been so patient with this cowboy. But not only that, but he's faithful. And if I'll operate in faith, which is another principle of the kingdom we'll get into later, but if I'll operate in faith, his word works for me. I said his word works for me. Just in the tithing and giving offerings. You know, we're not going to receive another offering, don't worry. But just in that area, when that became a revelation to me, it was hard because, you know, I was up to my neck in debt. And I'd gotten saved, and, you know, I bought everything I had. If I had $5 in my pocket, I was rich. You know, that was it because everything else was spoken for, you know. We didn't go out to eat. We did as much as we could with what we had. But, you know, when God started speaking to me about that, I said, well, okay, I'll trust you. So I started a little bit at a time and got a little bit more and got a little bit more. You know what the coolest thing was? Is before, through the years, as I entered into this tithing covenant with him, I have seen so many cool things happen in my finances. It's ridiculous. And here we are, a two-year anniversary as our church, way back in 1994. Suddenly we had this building given to us, over $250,000 worth of real estate and personal property of the church. The church that was here died. They own this building and the house next door, 9.5 acres of bare ground out by the skate ranch on Clay Street. And all of it was given to us. Period. Boom. Done. Cheers. And I know that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't trusted in him. If I hadn't operated from the kingdom principles of letting him being Lord over my finances, that never would have happened. But he does that, and over and over and over again. See, Jesus has earned the right to offer this new life and the new kingdom because of everything he did on the cross. He has the right, the legal right, to offer to us the new birth, a new life, with the power that comes behind it. Amen? And that transformation inside of us. Over here in Galatians chapter 2, are you there? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. See, resurrection power only comes after a death. Makes sense, right? Jesus had to die on the cross in order to be raised again from the dead. And when we enter into this covenant, it's like what Paul said. We got to look at it this way. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you know, he says, and no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when you cross over into the kingdom of heaven, you're basically dead to all the old junk that used to hold sway over your life. All the old desires, all the old things that the devil used just to trap you in a mess. I'm free from that. I'm as free as a dead man is from the bill collector, you know. He doesn't have to worry anymore. There's no more stress. There's no more strain. And when you die in Christ, you go right straight to heaven. Your earth suit, we got to take care of that. We have a funeral. We mourn the loss, knowing that it's only temporary. But you know what? Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer about me. It's about him. That's kingdom-mindedness. That's acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your King. Until I became dead to my old life, you know what? God can't really do what he wants to do in Christ in my life. And I get to choose how much of it I want. I've met Christians that compartmentalize their Christianity. Say that fast three times, you know. They come to church on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week, they're just like anybody else. You couldn't tell they're a Christian. No way, no how. In fact, there was one fellow who was a very dear friend of mine who had a terrible drug habit, heroin, you name it, everything. Loved God, wanted to be born, you know, got born again, did everything he could, but he lived a dual life. On Sunday morning, he was this, and on Monday, he's out robbing pharmacies for OxyContin with a shotgun. Yeah. How can you do that? Well, how can all these other people do all these other different things that we read about, you know? How did so-and-so ended up having an affair on his wife? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Well, you know what? You try to live on both sides of that fence, you're eventually going to get in trouble. And this old boy finally got to the point where he just couldn't do it anymore. Got caught. Cops are chasing him down. Steps out of his truck and pulls out his pistol when he's got 20 guns, shotguns, pistols, everything else trained on him. And he committed suicide by cop. He wasn't living with the kingdom principles. He was still being controlled by the old desires instead of being renewed into what God has for him. And he had the choice. That's the thing all of us have to understand. We all have a choice of what we're going to be doing. Like, it's like what John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. That's where the power flows. That's where the life starts becoming sweet. That's when it starts making sense and the good things that are in the Bible start happening in your life. It's an amazing thing. Like what one minister said, it's kind of like microwave popcorn. How many like microwave popcorn? Some people like it with the extra butter where it's just dripping out of the bag when you pull it out. And me, I'm kind of a light butter kind of guy, you know. Some people have to put all the salt and the seasonings in it. But, you know, the funny thing is when you put that thing in the microwave and you hit it for the number of minutes, now you got to pay attention because if you let it go in there too long, what smells like ambrosia turns into something that you got to open all the windows and kick a fan on because it's grossing you out because burnt popcorn smells terrible, you know. But you put it in there and you punch that button and what happens? Well, the little plate in there starts spinning around, lights on, it's making all this humming noise. Nothing's happening, right? And it'll go on for almost a minute, and then you'll hear what? Just a pop. All of a sudden, woo-hoo. And then it's two pops, and then 20 pops, and then 200 pops, and then it's just jumping all over on the inside of there until it goes ding, and you pull it out, and you're like, oh, yes, indeed. That's like the kingdom of heaven. You get over into the things of God. You get hit Jesus as your king and your Lord, not just your buddy, not just your Savior, but entering into that relationship the way it needs to be entered in, and all of a sudden, everything starts popping in your life. Every good and perfect gift starts coming in your direction, and all you can do is keep grinning. But you got to make up this decision. Like Romans 12:1 tells us, it says, you know, I offer myself as a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable to Him, which is my reasonable service. As a Christian, why would I not want to do that? So what we do here on Sunday mornings, when we do it all through the week, God's just right there. We got to decide, like it says in Colossians, to put on the new man that's renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Nowadays, Christianity so many times is just a transaction, just like anything else. It's like I go through the drive-thru and I order me a senior decaf and a sausage biscuit. That's kind of usually what I do. That's like my rhythm, you know, if I go through there. And all I got to do is order it through the, you know, the squawk box that's out there. What would you like, sir? And you tell them, you know, and somehow or another they hear it. And you come around and you give them the money, and then you go up to the next window and they give you your stuff, and then you drive off. There is no relationship that's implied there. But yet we become so much like that when it comes to our walk with God if we're not careful. Well, I'll go to church if it meets my needs. I'll go to church if they're singing the right songs. I'll go to church if it makes me feel good. And unfortunately, if you live by your feelings, you're not living by the Spirit of God. And so you end up getting trapped into this mindset, and the enemy uses it to control and to steal, kill, and destroy everything in your life. See, when I surrendered my life to Jesus totally, I did it because He gave His life totally for me first. In every sense of the word, He gave up everything when he left heaven and was born on that Christmas morning. Not only that, He gave us everything when He hung on that cross. And when He took my sin and went to hell with it, He gave everything. How could I not give Him my life? How could I not live for Him if He died for me? That's the principle that God calls us to do. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, both whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Wow. Go over here to 1 Timothy. You got to see this, because the kingship, the lordship of Jesus has to be firmly a part of how you see yourself. All this other stuff that's going on around me in the natural, I know God has got His hand upon it. He's going to supply all of my need according to His riches and glory. He's my shepherd. I'm not going to be in want. I'm in His presence, so I have fullness of joy. The stress level goes down. The joy level goes up no matter what's going on around me. This week I found out I took my car into the mechanic. It was my wife's car, this little Honda that she drives around. And we have to keep filling it up with antifreeze. That's not cool. You're not supposed to have to do that. Never had a problem with this car before. Never. Nothing. Change the oil filters, whatever. Took it to the mechanic, and he calls me up that day, and the end of the day, and he goes, well, I got the worst possible news for you. And I'm sitting there going, oh, great. Okay. What is it? He says, you got a cracked block. Really? How many times have I ever heard that in my life? Never. I've heard a freeze plug coming loose, where you just pop the new freeze plug back in there and everything's fine. But no, this little aluminum sewing machine under the hood has got a cracked block. And then I go to the internet to find out about it. I just typed in all this stuff, and I find out that Honda had a horrible problem with that, and they gave an extra 10 years, a full 10-year warranty on the thing. So if this happened, they'd replace your whole motor. You know, we're talking about $3,000-$4,000. And you get the whole motor. You don't just get a new block. You get a whole everything, brand spanking new, under the hood. But my car is 11 and a half years old. The warranty only goes 10 years. So what am I doing? I got no problems with it because I'm a child of the King. I have yielded my life to the Lord. In fact, when we got that stupid car, I put my hands on it and said, God, this is your car. So when this happens, I don't have to worry about a thing. He's going to take care of all of my needs, right? He's going to watch over me because I've entered into the kingdom. I've given everything I have to Him. So I'm going to stay in faith, knowing that God's going to take care of me and never have to worry about it. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13, she'll pop it up on the screen there. There it is. It says, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep his commandment without spot, living for the kingdom, in other words. Blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Man, you read about it in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. I'll tell you what, John, when he encountered Jesus, was not seeing a little fat baby in the manger. He saw him as he is right now, and it totally blew him away. In fact, the Bible says he fell down as one that was dead. Well, Jesus come and got him back up on his feet again because he had to tell him a bunch of stuff he wanted him to write down in the book of Revelation. But that's who we serve. And I don't think God's going to sit up in heaven eating Rolaids worried about a crack block on a Honda. Right? And I'm in that kingdom. So where's my confidence level? Where's my assurance? I mean, I don't want to put a $4,000 engine in a car that's only worth $3,000. So what do? Trust God. Relax. Breathe in. Breathe out. Wax on. Wax off, you know. And trust that God's going to make a way where there is no way. That's the greatest way of living I can think of. Man, back in the day, I used to have to run around all over the place just trying to figure out what am I going to do about this. You know what? I'm going to do whatever God's going to show me to do. Until then, I'm just going to enjoy it. Car still runs. Put some goop down in the radiator, you know, to help plug it up. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it don't. I don't know. But I've got a peace that passes all understanding about the whole doggone thing. Because God is on my side. I like what D.L. Moody, he put it this way. He said, God will not accept a divided heart. He must be the absolute monarch. There is no room in your heart for two thrones. You cannot mix the worship of the true God with the worship of any other God more than you can mix oil and water. It cannot be done. There is not room for any other throne in the heart of than the heart of Christ is there. If worldliness should come in, godliness will go out. It's true. John Hagee put it this way. If he isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. That's why Jesus puts in the gospel, he said, many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because if all you want is a comfort zone Christianity, if all you want is having your needs met, if your world still revolves around you after you get born again, there's something horribly wrong. When God's called us to live a life that's much higher. Go over here to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. See, God's not calling you into slavery. He's calling you into freedom. But it's a freedom that you have to understand from the viewpoint that God has. Philippians 2, verse 9, it says, therefore God also has highly exalted him. What? God has made this same Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Here he says, God has also highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. We talk about this. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father by him, but by him. But every tongue's going to confess, every knee's going to bow. That means us too. Every means all. So if I acknowledge him as my Lord and Savior, not just my buddy, not just my friend, not just, you know, the candy man that brings good stuff into my life when I ask him enough, but when I see myself as being in him, he's not added onto my life. I am pursuing everything he has. His lordship is absolute in my life. It changes my relationship with him. Like I said, everybody wants a transactional thing. In fact, in the 25 years that we've had a church, it's amazing how many people that just leave without saying goodbye. In other words, their relationship was transactional. There wasn't a relationship. A church is supposed to be a family. Not just a place like you go in where they're, well, I like Starbucks. Well, I think I'll go to Big B. No, I like this over here, Blue Hat. No. It's about connecting in with someone who loves you so much. And when you bow your knee and when you confess him as your Lord, I'm telling you what, it changes the dynamic Because we're called not just to know this, we're called to live it. Everywhere we go, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what this fellow said. He said, God never gave us rules so that we can live an imprisoned life, trapped in the boundaries of what not to do. Thou shalt nots, you know. That's not what God was doing. God set up a path of freedom for all who choose to walk in it, a path that takes you out of the bondage of the world and leads you to wholeness, so that all of your relationships emanate the quality of heaven. Isn't that incredible? What God does for those who simply says, whatever you want, Lord. Today, I'm reporting for duty. When you get out of bed in the morning, maybe after you had your first or second cup of coffee, some people got to have that, you know. But you say, Lord, what do you have for me today? I know I got to go to work. I know I got to do this. Usually when I go to bed on Sunday night, before I go to bed, I got a list, like a half a page list of what I need to do on Monday, because Monday's my day off, so I got to cram everything in to that day so I don't forget it. So I get up in the morning and I look at my list. But you know what? Most important thing to do is check in with the boss. God, what do you have? Lord, I give you permission to interrupt my day, to redirect my steps, to change my plans. I want to do what you want me to do, Lord, because you're my king, and I trust in you. Amen? We got to live it. So what are the benefits and the blessings? Honest question. I mean, you know, when I go into, you know, the different jobs that I have applied for and was accepted into a part of the application process, of course, they're checking me out. Fair enough. Okay. But I've learned that when I'm going to work in the secular field, that, you know what, I'm giving up a part of my life that I can never get back for a paycheck. So not only are you checking me out, I think it's fair if I'm checking you out. And I do it respectfully. I want to know what the benefits are if I come to work for you. Well, you're going to pay me this much money. Okay, but what else? Because I was a maintenance mechanic and electrician and worked in all kinds of different commercial enterprises and different things like that. And, you know, sometimes they had no benefits. And, so they paid you a little bit more, another dollar an hour. In other places, you got everything along with a good wage. So when I'm coming into the things of God, into his kingdom, what are the benefits? I mean, what's the package here of submitting to King Jesus? And you know what the number one thing is? First thing that came to my heart was in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. Wow. Power. Power. Doesn't the Bible say in Mark chapter 16 verse 17 that these signs shall follow them that believe, they'll cast out devils? You know, the devil shouldn't be punking you all the time. If you're living out of the kingdom, God's already downloaded into you the authority that you can just take over the enemy and walk free. Yeah. You can receive this and you can have a love relationship with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that's when all of this starts going, like the microwave popcorn. When he's allowed to show you the good things that come into the kingdom after you receive that. Oh my gosh. Isn't that a blessing? Wouldn't it be great? If you were following the Lord, and let's say you're going out to buy a car, and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, and you're looking at this one car, and it's got everything looks good on the thing, and on the inside you're going, no. You want the car, but something on the inside says don't. Wouldn't that be something really handy to have? How about when you're going down the road in the wintertime, and the Lord says, takes this direction, not that direction. Follow this route to get where you're going, not the other route that you had already intended. And you find out later that there was a chain reaction car accident. Like on how that 94 between Battle Creek and Kalamazoo, how when the storms come in, buddy, that is not a good place to be driving. You can be doing everything right, and everybody around you goes stupid, hits some black ice, and next thing you know, yeah. Wouldn't it be great if God could show you that? What if you're into a situation and God just drops into your thoughts the right answer to the situation? Like I said, I worked as an electrical maintenance guy for years, 20 years. I can't tell you how many times I was in the middle of trying to fix a machine and I'm asking God, I got skills. I know enough to fiddle my way through it. But you know what? I'll just go, God, what's the problem here? I'll just start praying real quietly. I got the big old thing open, you know. Sometimes I'm open a cabinet as big as a refrigerator door, and it's just filled with miles of wires and relays and lights and everything else and switches and buttons. Okay, God, what is it? And like a little bitty voice on the inside, it's this right over here. You know, God make you look like a genius. I've shared this a number of times. I was working at a food factory. I just got through Bible school and all of that, you know, down in Tulsa. And I come in, and this one machine had been down for 6 hours. They sent all the production people home. The maintenance crew that was there were senior guys. They'd been there many, many years. I'd only been there a little over a year. And I'm coming in to take the third shift position, to start the third shift. And these guys were the second shift guys, and they were like, they couldn't fix it. And they'd been fixing it for many years. So I come in, they want to get out of there as fast as they can because it made them look stupid. And by the time they went into the maintenance shop, which was right on the other side of the forklift driveway from this machine, right next to the door to the maintenance shop, I went in, I got my tools, I came out, I stared at that thing, and I said, "Lord, what is it?" And I can't tell you how this works, I just tell you it is work. He says, "Is that a little relay right there?" And it's one of them kind you can just unplug. And I went over to the parts window. And before those guys got their tools put away and came out the door to go home, I had the machine running. I had never worked on that machine. Ever. And within a matter of a minute, it's running just fine. And they come out and they're like, first of all, they're blown away. And then they got mad because they've been kicking their butt for 6 hours, you know. How did you do that? I said, "I can't tell you." Now they're really mad, you know, because now they think I'm being a smart aleck with them. You know, I says, "You would not understand if I told you how I figured that out." Then, of course, they kept ragging on me for a while. I says, "I thought you guys wanted to go home." They went out just saying all kinds of bad words, you know. But the machine was working. It was because of what the Holy Spirit did. That kind of power is incredible. And that's one of the benefits of coming into the kingdom. How about number two? Faith. I love faith. Faith that never fails, faith that never fades away, faith that is part of a continuing relationship. The Bible says faith works by love. Love isn't a static thing. Love isn't love until you give it away. And if I have a vertical connection with God and I'm giving my love to Him and He's pouring His love into me, I can love on everybody. I don't care how much of a rascal you are, but that faith that it generates is incredible. Mark 11:23 says, "I can speak to mountains. I can speak to impossibilities. And it will move because I can have what I say." Boy, isn't that an incredible thing to have in your life? Everything seemed like it's going wrong, and all of a sudden you just start speaking the promises of God. You know, it's so easy just to stare at the problem. The problem, the problem, the problem. The problem, the problem, the problem. Here's my situation. Oh, feel sorry for me. No. For every problem that you're going to run into in this life, there's an answer right here. Now, will you take that and use it and start speaking that over your life? Speak the answer, not the problem. Well, how does that work? I can't tell you how. All I know is that I'm in the kingdom of God, and when God says do it and I do it, He backs it up and He makes it happen. It's not me. I got to make the choice, though, to act like a child of God. Faith that produces dominion over the enemy. A foundation that's built on the rock. So I don't have to worry like, well, maybe it'll work and maybe it won't. Well, it doesn't hurt to try. That's not faith. That's wishing and hoping. But if I'm in the kingdom of heaven and I've got God as my King, my Lord, and my Savior, that when I go about it the way He says to go about it, He backs it up. When you stand on faith and the promises of God, His reputation is at stake. And because I'm sold out, because I've not just added Him into my life, I get the full benefit package that comes with it. I like what it says in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "Now this is the confidence." I like that. I got a crack block in my car. I got confidence, man. Never did like that car anyway. Feels like you're riding in a pop can. Oh, sure, it gets 38 miles a gallon. But, you know, you need to wear a kidney belt to ride in the thing if you're going to go cross country. I mean, this thing is just, anyway. So I'm not worried about it. This is the confidence that we have. That we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. That's a kingdom mindset. That's a knowing in your knower that it's not negotiable. It's not a question of if it's going to happen, but when. And God will never let you down. But if you want to just add him into your life, kind of tiptoe around the good things, you know, I want to be just good enough to go to heaven, but I want to be bad enough to have some fun in this life. That don't work for guys like that. It works for people who say, Jesus, whatever you want, Lord. Oh, some of the things he asked me to do is pretty tough, like coming and starting a church from scratch. Do you realize that less than 1% of people that have gone through and have studied for the ministry, that have actually gone out after school and started in the ministry, in the pastoral, that only less than 1% of them are still standing after 2 years? I've been here 25. It isn't because I'm so smart. It isn't because I'm so strong. It isn't because I got this all figured out. It's because I trusted in him. I said, God, I messed my life up. I do not want to get in the steering. I don't want God as my co-pilot. Man, that is just dumber than a sack of hammers. I'm going to let him be the pilot. See, this works not just once in a while. It works always. Always. Because I embrace my kingdom and as my kingdom responsibilities, I get to enjoy the privileges. Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? Oh, yeah. Number three, I know that the benefit means that I'm doing the same works and even greater works than Jesus did. Oh, yeah. Jesus himself said that. Because I go to the Father, you're going to do the same works I've done and even greater works. Wow. Isn't that incredible? What we can do just walking in the footsteps of Jesus, having the same love, having the same compassion for broken people, sharing Jesus in words that we speak and in the things that we do. There's great power in that. Great power. Because God's right in the middle of it. Fourth thing I know is you get a good, true purpose for your life. I mean, so many people are just marking the days. Excuse me. Got a tickle here. Because you don't measure your life in the number of days that you've existed on this planet. The days that you drew breath, it's by those things that took your breath away, things that you invested in, things that are bigger than you, things that will be out here long after you're gone, long after you're standing up in heaven enjoying all the party up there. That purpose is what gives us the reason to get up in the morning. It's, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but the book of Acts wasn't finished. It doesn't have a the end in it. It's the only book in the Bible that's still being written today. Wouldn't it be great if there was a chapter with your name on it? Yeah, this is the Leonard Budd chapter of the book of Acts. Wouldn't that be cool? Oh, yeah. All the stuff that you did was written down. As you're taking one adventure after another, following God. My goodness, man, think about it. That's a blessing. With King Jesus, you're never forgotten. I drove past a cemetery this week and real old, real old. I don't even know if they got somebody that comes in and mows the thing anymore. It's just so old. I mean, probably 4 or 5 generations ago, they were putting people in that cemetery. Maybe they got 100, 150 headstones in there. They're all kind of half crooked, and some of them are broke off and this stuff. And nobody goes back there to honor the relatives that have died that are buried there. You get forgotten after a couple of generations, you know. But not in heaven. Your life makes a difference. The Bible says, and your works do follow you. How about the fifth thing? I love this. There's a reward in heaven that endures for eternity. Oh, the kingdom of heaven is well worth signing up for. See, the greatest love that there has ever been has invited us to come and dine. And when God does that, you know what? I'm going to make sure every day I don't take him for granted. I kid with my wife. We've been married now 45 years, still on our honeymoon. And when I get up in the morning, you know, and she comes walking out, hair going every which way, you know, got her jammies on, doing the funny stumble to the bathroom. I go, hey, baby, you sure look beautiful this morning. Now, I'm a morning person. I get up and I'm ready to go. My wife, it takes her a little while to get her motor running. But, you know, I said, yeah, you are. She said, you got to get your eyes fixed. I said, don't you tell me my wife ain't beautiful. Every time I turn around, I tell her how much I love her. For a while there, we just kind of made a little bit of a joke. I said, no, I don't know if I told you I love you this morning, but I want to make sure that I do this, you know, because I know you forget. What is it about wives? They need to be told over and over and over again how much they're loved. That's a good thing. That's such a very good thing. That's why I'd keep that vertical love so fresh every morning, every day, every chance I get. Much as I do it for my life, for my wife, I'm telling you, I'm doing it for the Lord more than that. Because that love is real and it's alive and it needs to be spoken and it needs to be acted on. Because the more you live a life like that, the more your life makes sense. You're never a victim. Ever a victim. Nothing. No weapon that's formed against you will prosper. And you can walk through life with a joy because you've been in the presence of God, because you serve Him as the King. I'm in the kingdom of God. This is what kind of flowed out of my heart as I was writing this down. I'll just read it to you. I'm in the kingdom of God, and Jesus is the Lord over my life. He's not just my friend, not just my redeemer and sin bearer, but the one who gave up everything so that I might be able to come to the Father and surrender all of my life, past, present, and future. I have entered into a complete relationship with God, and I dwell totally in His realm. My life is opening up simply because I live wholly devoted to Him. Though the world may be in chaos, my life is not. I got a blood covenant with the eternal King of Kings, the Creator of the entire universe, my Lord Jesus. And every time we get together for communion, I'm reestablishing it over and over and over again so that it never gets old, it never gets stale. That's how you stay on your honeymoon, fellas. Ladies, you keep it fresh because it's new every day. And when I do that with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, with communion, it's a declaration of His Lordship over my life. Did you realize that? That's what it's supposed to be for? I'm declaring again and again and again that Jesus is Lord over my life in every way. And not only that, that there's a transfer of ownership of my life. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm going to glorify God in my body in every way that I can because of who He is and what He's done. Oh, I'm in the kingdom. Oh, yeah. I don't want to be anywhere else because I have never found a place in my entire life that is as sweet and as totally consuming and so rich than I have found since I've made Jesus my King. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You this morning for every opportunity to declare that You are Lord, that You are everything. Show us, Lord, more and more how to walk in Your footsteps, how to enter into that kingdom of God that has been opened freely for us through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we could enter in and live a kingdom life, that we could have days of heaven on earth because of Your great love, Lord. And then just turn around and share it with other people, that we weren't just here just for what You could do for us, Lord, but we are here to give our all in all for You, knowing that a life that's lived like that is never a wasted life, a life that's wide open, a life that's fully alive, and a life that the enemy can't touch. Oh, Lord, how good it is to know You in the absolute sense and walk in victory, like You have provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's somebody here this morning, your life is not right with God. Either you've never given Him the lordship of your life, or you did and you kind of took it back and started heading off in a different direction that you thought was better. I know that because I did that for 10 years. Between the ages of 18 and 28, I live for the enemy. I just live for what I thought I was in charge of. This is woohoo! I'm the king of my life. And then I had that encounter in my garage. God, if You're real, I want to know it. If you are in that situation where you've never made that decision, or you have walked away and you want to come back, it's a very simple thing. Is there anybody here with an upraised hand? Say, yeah, that's me. I need to make some adjustments. I need to get my life back right with God. I want everything that He has for me. If that's you, just slip your hand up in the air. Anybody at all? There's one. Come on, let's all stand. If you raised your hand or should have raised your hand, we're going to pray this prayer together. And if you mean it from your heart, it's going to register in heaven and you get an opportunity. I love the way God gives us a do-over. My heavens, what would it be like if it was three strikes and you're out? Shoot, we wouldn't last through the first day. But God even told Peter, He said, 7 times 70 in the same day, 490 times in the same day, you do something, the same stupid thing over and over and over again, God will forgive you. So pray this after me. Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent Jesus, your only Son, to this earth to live, to die, and to be raised again from the dead to set me free of a life that's controlled by the enemy. I surrender my life to you right now. Lord Jesus, where I have messed up and walked away, I'm coming back. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord. I give my life to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Something powerful just happened. If you're coming back into the things of God, all of your sins are forgiven. If you've never been born again and you this is your first time, buddy, God just wipes out your past. There is nothing standing between you and Him. The door is wide open, and the next step is up to you. Get yourself into a good Christian Bible-believing church. Find a place where you can plug in. Get into the Word. Oh, it's 66 love letters from God to you, and it'll begin to change your life. God's not going to take anything away from you. You got to freely surrender it, but you do it because you want to. You do it because His love is so incredible. You cannot imagine living any other way. That's the life that He offers to us this morning. Amen? Amen. You can be seated. Ushers, please come forward. Now, we serve open communion here. If you know Jesus as your Lord, please partake of it. Now, we come with two cups stacked, one on top of the other. The bottom one's got the bread in it. Top one's got the juice in it. The only thing we ask is that you wait until everybody is served before you partake of it, okay? Oh, I love you, Lord. How good you are. Thank you, Bobby. Yeah, we just do that two-cup thing because it's easier. Gets them all passed out a little quicker. Glory to God. Little Samuel Asher. He's still sleeping. Does he sleep all the time? Well, between me and Grandma, he's going to wake up. What a perfect little miracle. Y'all are miracles, every single one of you. And God loves you with an everlasting love that you cannot possibly imagine. The height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of it is so phenomenal. It's going to take eternity in heaven for us to figure it out. At least wrap our arms around it a little bit. That's how big our God is. That's how great His love is. Like what it said in Jeremiah 29:11, says, "Behold, I know the plans I have for you." Yeah, plans of blessing and to give you a purpose. That's the God we serve. Amen. Please take the cup with the bread in it and look at it. Represents Jesus, His body that was broken for you and for me. And as you take it into your mouth and you eat it, you just remember that what Jesus did for you, He's still doing for you every chance that you give Him. He will prove Himself over and over and over again to be faithful and true. So take the bread and eat it. Now take the cup. Represents His blood, the blood covenant. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Someone had to pay the price. Because God is not only love, but God is also justice. He is the supreme just judge of the universe. He couldn't just forgive us our sins, turn it away. No, somebody had to pay the price, and that was Jesus. When He went to hell for those 3 days, He paid the price for a debt that He did not owe. And we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. And through the blood of Jesus, we've been set free. Take the cup and drink it. Lord Jesus, we know that Your love is so steadfast, and Your heart is so wide open towards us, Lord. We don't want to live any other way. Lord, I ask for everybody here that You would just show us where we have compromised. Show us where we have just kind of rounded the corners off. Where You have taken Your word and tried to modify it a little bit so it's not quite so harsh. Doesn't ask so much. Lord, please forgive us of that. You shed Your blood. You did everything that we could live for You. And so, Lord, that's what we choose to do this morning. By Your strength, by Your grace, Lord, we choose this day to serve You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, living a life that glorifies You, which is the only life worth living. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. Get ready because the best is yet to come. Amen. Don't forget tonight, we got the Dream Team. So if you can come, that would be great. You dream.
I hope you enjoyed and got something out of this message. Thank you again for listening. Join us at Oasis of Love Family Church at 341 North Hudson Street in Coldwater, Michigan. Our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. and our Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m.